We're going to have our scripture reading, Ecclesiastes, I can't even say it today, a time for everything, a beautiful, beautiful verse in the Bible. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time of refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from this toil? I have seen the burden of God has lain on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that every one may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that men will reverence him. Whatever he has already been and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. The word of God to the people of God.
So this is a time for change, and we understand that because tomorrow will be 2018. Now, some of you are going to make resolutions. That's traditional. And some of you will keep some of them, and some of you won't. So what is it going to be this year? Let's just talk about that. Are you going to eat better, exercise more, save money, spend less? How about be kind to others? Volunteer more. We all have areas in our life that can be improved, and we resolve to do that. But if you can't keep these resolutions, remember that there's always Chinese New Year in February, so we can start over. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, I pray that the words that I say will touch hearts and lives and be a blessing to them. In Christ's name, amen. There are 4 points from this passage I'd like to explore. The first one is God appoints time and seasons. Expect change. God does not change, and God wants us to be happy and enjoy his creation. So if God appoints the times and seasons, we can sort of look into that. We have written, I mean, how many of us have taken an English class? Probably, I know I did. Or wrote a master's thesis and had to come up with that perfect sentence that just pulled it all together. Well, Solomon, or in this case he calls himself the teacher, does just that. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And of course, this is God's time, not our time. Timing is important in our relationships and in our spiritual life as well. It is crucial to live your life with acute awareness of God's timing for you in your life. We remember the story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was told he would be the father of many people, and it had been years since the promise was made. So they were old, and they took matters into their own hands. if they had waited for God to act, we probably would see things differently. There wouldn't be another faith tradition claiming Abraham as this patriarch. Remember, God's timing is perfect. But this life really is a matter of timing, and this should be evident to us. You and I probably have 4 or 5 calendars scattered around the house. And I tend to have calendars with flowers of the month on them. And each one of us carry a timepiece attached to our wrist or in our cell phones. Everywhere we see clocks. There's one back there telling me that I'm going to be on time or not. We live in a time-ordered world and society. But I love the phrase, under heaven, because this means the world is ordained, watched over, planned, and executed by God. God is not just the creator of the universe, but he is the master of all time. We need to accept that we live in a world of change. God has set the times, set times of everything under for the purpose of having us stand in awe of him. Because of the familiar nature of the seasons, we're underwhelmed with life, and thus with God. We know there are seasonal changes. We can feel the air becoming cooler or warmer. When was the last time you stopped and enjoyed the season of the year you are in, or the season of your life you are now living? So let's us unwrap the first 8 verses of this poem. The teacher makes 28 statements, 14 negatives and 14 positives. The first pair contrasts birth and death. This sets the parameters for the events that follow. When we see a memorial bulletin or a grave marker, we see the date of birth and a dash followed by the date of death. It is within that dash we live our lives. Within that life, we will undoubtedly participate in both creative and destructive endeavors. God appoints both our birthday and the day of our death. He knows exactly when we are born and when we die, and he always has. There are absolutely no surprises with God. God is sovereign over time. Yet the teacher seems to be saying time is short. In fact, time is almost up. We are born into this world, and we rather quickly race to the end. A time to plant and a time to harvest are dictated by the seasons. The various seasons of planting and harvest have been set by God. He sets the boundaries and time of the season, and they come and go very quickly. Well, in fact, I'm sure some of you are sending photographs to your winter friends up north of your tomatoes. I know I would. We can't grow tomatoes here very well in the summer. They just don't do it. But in the winter, it's great, and especially little cherry tomatoes, and they taste really pretty good. So if you're not growing them, try some. You'll be changing the seasons a little bit. The next two sets of opposites deal with destructive and creative activities. Kill, heal, tear down, build up. And here, killed means a capital punishment or death in a killing in a just war. Fortunately, there's also time to heal, to literally sow, or to heal a wound. Moving past the war of our doubts and fears into a peace found in Christ through God. There's also a time to tear down old walls, old relationships, or even old injustices, as well as a time to build up. What? A human life or a new relationship with God? The next two pairs express human emotions: laugh, weep, mourn, dance. Both sorrow and joy are part of life. Without one, the other is unrecognizable. We will encounter negative and positive emotions throughout this life. This is to be expected. Change occurs constantly. One moment we are on the mountain peak, the next moment we are in the valley. When loved ones pass from this life, family and friends should grieve. God intends humans to grieve. Jesus grieved when Lazarus died and when he himself was in the Garden of Gethsemane preparing to die. Grieving is healthy for the human psyche and brings about closure. It is also important for us to laugh and rejoice. Moving from mourning to rejoicing takes time, and each person experiences that time differently. There should never be judgment about how long or how short a person grieves. Is it possible to find joy in the midst of your sickness, to find dependency upon Him in your failing health? Is it possible to be close to God in ever-changing circumstances? If you only thank God in seasons of great health and prosperity, you will not be thanking God very much, because those seasons ebb and flow like the tide. You're to find joy in the midst of each season and in the transition between them. Stone throwing and hugging, interesting contrasts, since they don't seem to follow the same pattern as closely as the others. Does this mean we need to throw stones literally, or is it a way to tell us that we are gathering and rejecting building materials both in the physical world, the interpersonal world, and the spiritual world? When we embrace people and ideas that make us happy or build us up, we tend to shun those that don't, that have the opposite effect. And besides, we need hugs every day. God knows this. The next two pairs deal with the nature of our possessions. The latter phrase gives biblical authority for garage sales, a time to keep and a time to clean house. The thought here deals with the fleeting nature of our possessions. We buy clothes, we take clothes to the Goodwill. We buy a new car, we sell our clunker. We search for various lost items in our house, and we never find them because of the mess in our garage or our closet. A time for mourning and a time to cease mourning. Now, in the Old Testament, when people mourned the death of a loved one, they tore their clothing and they kept silent. When the period of mourning was over, ordinary conversations of the day could continue. The final set of verses have to do with affection and their consequences. At first glance, these verses can be hard to understand. We all know there's a time to love. We should be all about love. Jesus tells us to love. The teacher here also says there is a time to hate. Even Jesus hated. He hated sin. He hated its mastery over human souls. Unlike the other couplets where the creation was first followed by the destruction, I think the teacher had the desire to end on an upbeat. Rather than peace, then war, ironically, and he ends with peace rather than war. And ironically, this line of scripture has become rather famous to the 1965 hippie song penned by Pete Seeger and sung by the Byrds that we sang as the song of preparation. So thus did Ecclesiastes enter the mainstream consciousness of the counterculture. But thankfully, God does not change. Mankind gains nothing from his work. Any profit or advantage that man might gain from his toil is nullified by his ignorance of God. People need something to do. They need meaningful work. The old phrase, idle hands are the devil's playground, means just that. Stay busy on useful work, helping others, loving the unlovable, healing the spiritually ill, walking with those who are alone. They're great ways to stay busy in God's work. God is the one who's made everything in its time and has given us the sense to transcend the present, but we still don't know what God has done. We can have and are given hope. The cycles of life, mourning, tearing down, weeping, are not destinations. We have to be aware of the bigger story of our lives in God's story, His plan for us and our salvation. We can have more peace in every season when we know God is over them and in them. We want control, but we can't have it. So we exhaust ourselves trying to turn our season of winter into summer artificially. Sometimes the transition of spring is missed. We are too busy focused on ourselves that we forget to see what God is doing in the world and in our lives. This section is not primarily about seasons that we experience, but about the God who is master over all seasons and times. He has put eternity into our hearts, and we are never going to find ultimate satisfaction in anything temporal. While there is enjoyment in these seasons, they will change, and we will be back to places of longing. Are you dissatisfied with your life at all? If so, it may be a gift from God for you to seek and find your everlasting satisfaction in Him. Additionally, we need to be comfortable with not knowing all there is. We are made to desire more than what is directly in front of us. Yet we are not capable of seeing the fullness of God's plan and design all the time. God's mind is so much bigger and more complex than ours. God is a giver. He gives us business to attend to. He gives us a sense of eternity, past and future. He gives us the ability to have enjoyment in our toil. This is all good news. In the light of this eternal God, how are we to live out our days and navigate these seasons? We're called to do good and have joy. This is a call that's a good call to be given. But when there are commands like this in the Bible, it's because the opposite is often true. It would be hard, almost impossible, to live a full life if God changed His mind. The anxiety of worrying if we were good enough, forgiven enough, or loved enough would be paralyzing. Since God does not change, we have confidence and courage to face all of life's joys and sadnesses, all of the seasons of our lives. So enjoy life. The teacher tells us one of the greatest responses to this life is to make the most of it. Not in a hedonistic sense, but in a spiritual sense. We are to enjoy life by including God in all things that we do and being filled with joy. Biblical faith is a call to joy. So it makes sense to enjoy this life. Eat ice cream. Watch a movie. Play in the rain with the kids or the grandkids. Take your wife out to a nice dinner. It's good to be a good, wise steward. You don't have to be extravagant, but make the most of your days on this earth. Enjoyment of life comes from God. It is a gift from God. Unwrap the package He has given you and enjoy it to its fullest. After all, the giver wants to see the recipient of a gift pleased with the gift. God has given us the best gift possible, that of life in Christ through God. Finally, everything God does will remain forever. God's work is permanent and complete. What has been will be. History repeats itself. The seasons come and go. The sunset becomes sunrise after darkness. God wants man to fear him out of reverence and to be humbled before him. Those who revere God are truly blessed. Everything he does is awe-inspiring. Let's make a commitment in the new year to trust and believe in the living God. Amen.